So kind of going back to where we were at chronologically, after Killer and the Killer Tour, June of 72, Schools Out came out, correct?
Yeah, Schools Out came out, and what had happened? I mean, you talked about Under My Wheels, which was sort of the the hit from Killer, and I think I explained before that up to then, I mean, Killer was a platinum album immediately. Love to Death was gold, and we were well known all over the country, becoming a household name, but we still hadn't really busted wide open. We'd been a success in Europe, and was even going to become more so after Schools Out. But we still hadn't really broken open the markets in Los Angeles and in New York, New York.
Even after Killer, you guys still hadn't broke New York.
No,
that's amazing.
I mean, some of the album-oriented stations were playing, but we wanted AM. We wanted to dominate. We wanted to be in AM radio.
Right.
I mean, Alice, we weren't happy with what we were trying to do until we reached all of our potential audience.
Right.
And you can do that. I mean, album-oriented radio was huge in those days. I mean, there was absolutely nothing wrong with that. I mean, it was huge.
Now, were you playing good shows in New York at the time?
We would play, the show that really broke it for us was when we played, I think it was in as far as the crowd and the press went, but still when we played at the Fillmore East, because we had done a lot of shows around New York and Connecticut, New Jersey, and smaller venues, and just again never really broken it open. But there was a band called Blood Rock back in the early 70s, and they were headlining.
I remember them.
Yeah, I think it was Fever Tree and Blood Rock or something like that. I forget the exact. Billing, but they had a huge following, and that night was the first night in New York City where everybody was talking about Alice Cooper was going to get blown off the stage. And again, we weren't going to have any of that. But anyway, we're going to get blown up by that band. Who even knows who they are anymore?
Right.
And so we said, okay, that's kind of like we're always up for a challenge. And so just again, everything clicked that night. And we opened for Blood Rock, and so after we played, like majority of the crowd left, and these are Blood Rock fans. So we had, and there's a great story about that too. A couple years ago. This was back in the early '80s at a Kiss concert in Blue Oyster Cult, and Blue Oyster Cult have always been great buddies of ours, and I've known Ace Frehley for years. And
you played on the one Buck Dharma album, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the song that was on MTV called "Born to Rock" was a song that I had written, and Donald had liked it, and so he came on. He came on board, and he and I, collaborated to finish it, and then that was the song that was played on MTV. And was a like an MTV hit, back in the early '80s.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about some of your solo stuff after we go through the rest of the Cooper stuff, but.
Yep.
So anyway, we were back in at Schools Out, and you were talking about Fillmore.
Yeah, and so that was the first time that we just really blew the hell out of New York.
And what year was that? What tour was that?
I think I'm pretty sure that was still Killer.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not sure, but I know it wasn't Schools Out yet, because after Schools Out, I mean, really, it was just a whole different ballgame then.
So then, even though, the million-selling records and the number one songs and the big tours and stuff, once Schools Out came out, that kind of even grew exponentially from there, didn't it?
Well, essentially, New York wasn't playing any of our songs on AM radio. They didn't play I'm 18. They didn't play Under My Wheels. And because chart-wise, as a single, 18 was still bigger than Under My Wheels. Even though we were having tons of success, in our mind, we needed an over-the-top hit single. And we were, ideas putting the new album together, and I just know that, as always, it was a collaboration between the five of us putting the music together. But Glenn really did, it was one of those things that I had always felt in the back of my mind that if the band was really going to go over the top, and a lot of bands can come out and have two hit albums, three if they're lucky. You have a nice trilogy. I mean, Jimi Hendrix did. But for us to do it, Glenn really had to come to the forefront. And so Glenn, for some reason in this album, he just really, I mean, School's Out is Glenn's album. It was really, you know, Glenn's album, his character. We were very, very, you know, we were heavily into Clockwork Orange and West Side Story. And in our minds, we wanted to do Alice Cooper as a gang, as far as the image of the album, and then, you know, have some of the feeling of West Side Story, the violence of Clockwork Orange, and put together this concept record. And that's, you know, with the help of Bob Ezrin, that's how it fell together. And then with Glenn coming out, and again, School's Out was, you know, that was a riff, like I had mentioned before, that had been around for a long time, the intro to School's Out, that
right.
was Glenn's riff. So, you know, we started putting the songs together, and some of them were pure Mike Bruce songs, and some of them were Dennis's songs, you know, and then Alma Mater was a song that I had written. So, you know, there were, you know, this was really a collaboration of the band. Everybody had input, but Glenn had so much input in all the songs. I mean, it was just right down his, you know, right down his alley. And I think that then when School's Out and Glenn was like, this was the top of Glenn's career, it's the top of his game right there. And when that happened, and I listened to it, I listened to Love It to Death, and I knew, I mean, I just sensed Love It to Death would be a hit record for us. And Killer was just, you know, it was beyond that, and I thought it was a great record. But this, I said, now there's people that aren't even Alice Cooper fans that are going to buy this record. And did I ever know that 30 years later that it would be in as many movies that the song was in? And, you know, it's almost like, you know, the passage from School to Summer is almost now, you know, hailed with School's Out.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, and did we know that was going to happen? No, we didn't. I mean, you know, some of the other artists, you know, Chuck Berry had, you know, his school song, and then the Beach Boys had their school song, and we knew there were some big songs out there, but we really didn't even think about that. We just, you know, liked the idea about the concept about, you know, School's Out in a gang and, you know, in the summertime and all that sort of thing. We put it all together, and the single came out. And the other thing, I think the other thing that we really wanted was a gold single. Because, you know, those days it was a big deal to have a gold single, which is sort of stupid because you could have a gold single and not make much money. A gold album, a platinum album is really where the money is. Because people used to have gold albums and then, I mean, gold singles, and then somebody buy the album and the album sucked. So they wouldn't make any money.
Right.
But we had released, and what I think happened is we released the single, and it was climbing the charts all over the country, and it was our first, in some of the markets it was our first you know, top 20, in some markets top 10, went to number one in a lot of markets.
New York AM was playing it.
Yeah, New York AM finally had to play Alice Cooper, and the album, and I think we sold almost 800,000 or 900,000 singles. And, you know, right when it was ready to go to get a gold single, the album was released. And, of course, everybody bought the album after that. And then the album, I don't know how many million it sold.
So the single came out a few weeks or a month before the album?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it came out, you know, like the end of May or the beginning of May. So basically that was the, I think there was another single that was released off of there. But what I think happened was you know, because that sort of pulled us through the summer, and then the elections were coming up, and we had a song that was called "Reflected" on "Produce for You,"
mm-hmm.
And with the elections coming up and Richard Nixon and everything, you know, we thought, no, you know, we just had "School's Out." There's an election coming up. Let's do "School's Out." Let's do "Elected." So we, because actually "Reflected," as I recall, right when I had joined the band in 67, when that song was around for a few months as a brand new song, it originally was called "Elected," and then it was changed to "Reflected" as kind of like, you know, more psychedelic and glam and that sort of thing for "Pretty's for You," and then it went full circle and became "Elected" again, and we rewrote the song, but basically rewrote the song. And then, you know, then that was a hit, and it really wasn't on an album, so we threw it on Billion Dollar Babies.
So that was released as a single again before Billion Dollar Babies was released?
That was a single that was released before the election. I mean, we recorded it like the end of summer, so it would be ready for to be played in September and October before the November election.
And then how much later was Billion Dollar Babies released?
Billion Dollar Babies was released early 73 then.
Oh, okay.
Because that was really the first song that was ever recorded off of, for that album. But again, like I said, it was on the album, and it seemed to fit the album, because it was certainly in the spirit, and it was produced like the other songs were. Because every time we produced an album, it sort of was like, it changed. We thought it bumped up a little bit in quality.
Was No More Mr. Nice, was Elected as big of a single as No More Mr. Nice Guy was?
It's really hard to say. I don't know.
Or did Mr. Nice Guy kind of almost grow in popularity kind of after that album was released?
Yeah, I think No More Mr. Nice Guy was after the album was released. It may have been released maybe a few weeks before the album, because right then, the record stations were just dying for anything Alice Cooper. I mean, whatever it was, and they knew it was going to be pretty hot. And so that was a song that they, that was a song that the next one after Elected was No More Mr. Nice Guy. And, then we had Billion Dollar Babies. So I think Billion Dollar Babies was a single off that, too. I think we had three, maybe if not four, singles off that record.
I think my favorite has always been I Love the Dead.
Oh, it's a great song.
I love that song.
I still would love to see a greatest hits album of, like, the sickest hits of Alice Cooper.
Oh.
With, like, Black Juju and Killer and Dead Babies.
Exactly.
And I Love the Dead.